Welcome to the Star Wars Collector Podcast, episode number 125. I am your host, Brian, and with me, as always, are my co-hosts, Carl and Dwayne. Hey, guys.
Hey, Brian. Hey, Dwayne.
Hello, gentlemen.
How you doing?
Doing really good.
Yep.
Same. It's always good when we talk about Star Wars.
Yep. It's a good night, good day when you get to talk about Star Wars with your buddies.
Yep. All right, so we'll get this started with what we got here recently, and we'll start with Carl this time.
Okay, I got two things this time, and I actually got them both today in store, or I would have had nothing this month.
Oh, wow.
So first up, I got a – for the we're trying to do video again, so this for the people that are Patreons. I got this cool coffee steel tumbler. It says – the Dark Side Coffee Company, Star Wars on it. I got that at Box Lunch at the up in Huntington Mall. And I found the deluxe IG-12 with Grogu and Anzellan. I found that up at Target. And what made it even better is, as people, some people know, I collect horror figures too. They had, if you spent $75 on toys, you got 15 off. So I picked up a couple of horror figures and got $15 off while I was up there. So
nice.
But I don't think... I mean, he comes with the tiny Grogu and the little other guy, but do y'all really think this is a deluxe figure?
Nope, not really.
I don't either.
I mean, you know, it comes with just one weapon.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I got that one also this month. One of only three figures for the month. Mm-hmm. I tell you, February and March have just been really... Like Carl said, if he hadn't found them in the store, he wouldn't have any. But I've only received three, and the other two were my Deidre Miro figure and the Ara Sing figure. So that's kind of slim pickings for the month, I guess.
Yeah.
For those that want to see the figures, here's Ara Sing, because I got one as well. It's just a remake of number 73.
That is so yeah. Weird. Because how it's funny how I got. Moreau before you all did, but where I pre-ordered it from Prime, but I also pre-ordered Sing from Prime and I hadn't got it yet. And you all beat me on that one.
Yeah, the picture is actually different on the card than the original. And then here's the Deidre Miro. She's the ISB agent.
Yeah, I like that figure.
Me too.
It's one of my favorites of the year so far.
Yeah, the head sculpt is, I mean, almost dead on.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Just get that scowl. Because mm-hmm. It's like she frowns and scowls through the whole episodes that she's
I think
in.
She's a great character too. I'm super excited about the next season.
Yeah, me too. Those previews look really good. I'm just kind of a little, I guess, perturbed at the fact that they're doing three episodes each time, but it doesn't start until 9 p.m. So if I want to stay up and watch them all, it'll be midnight almost before I'm done watching it. And I'm like, I don't know if I can do that, having to get up early. Well, what else did you get, Dwayne?
Well, I got a couple of other little things I wanted to mention. One of them, I went to Ollie's. Some of our listeners out there may be familiar with the Ollie's discount store. And I always like just kind of searching through their books. They have a huge... selection of like graphic novels usually, and I don't really ever buy anything because usually what I come across as far as Star Wars related I already have in just single issues since I collect all of the Star Wars titles. But I did find it was a Marvel Star Wars A New Hope special edition, and I don't think I'd ever seen this version where they illustrated or the special edition versions of A New Hope. Of course, we've had the retelling of, you know, A New Hope, obviously way back in 77 with Marvel Comics. And but anyway, this collected or you know, had the entire movie in a graphic novel, but it's a hardcover edition with the cover art was like the back cover was the Hildebrandt Brothers did a special cover for Marvel, I guess. And the front cover, I can't remember. He's also a front cover artist. He's also a noted Star Wars artist. Struzan,
maybe?
No. I can't remember. Shoot. He usually does, like, posters for him for Star Wars a lot. illustrated posters and like the card games, and way back when they were doing like the Galaxy cards and all that, which I guess they still do the Galaxy Star Wars Galaxy cards. But anyway, so I picked that up. It was cover price $24.99, and if you know anything about Ollie's, you know you can get really good deals there a lot of times. I picked a sucker up for $5.99. So I said,
that is
I
a
can't,
good deal.
Yeah, I can't, even if I do have those actual stories in an actual comic book somewhere, you know, you really can't turn that deal down. And it, you know, has extra additional like pages in it with different other artists, renditions and stuff. But the cool thing that I got this month, some of you may know that I also, like I just mentioned, collect all of the Star Wars titles. Well, Marvel released a new ongoing, I think it's going to be an ongoing series called Star Wars Jedi Knights. And it's going to be focusing on the Jedi Knights during the, it's not the Old Republic. What do we call it right before the Phantom Menace and everything? The High Republic. Okay. So it's going to be like the adventures of the Jedi Knights that were throughout the galaxy, you know, during the High Republic when right before the rise of Palpatine and the Empire took control before the Order 66 and everything. So anyway, long story short, I usually, my local comic shop, if they order enough copies, they always get the variant covers, which are the John Tyler Christopher, if you're familiar with them, action figure covers.
Mm-hmm.
Where he paints actual action figures on from the different Star Wars that we collect, the vintage collection. But yeah, this one is, and I wish I had it with me, I didn't realize we were doing video today. This one was a character that some Star Wars collectors out there that really do deep dive into the collecting history might be familiar with. It's a character called Atha Prime. And I'll just, do you, either one of you guys know who that is?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't either.
So the story behind Atha Prime is in 90 or 84, 85, when the Star Wars line was winding down with Power of the Force. Hasbro, or at that time, Kenner, was brainstorming new Star Wars figures that they would come up with on their own that weren't movie characters. They were going to maybe start creating their own storylines or their own characters. And they did some prototype characters and figures. And one of those was going to be the new big bad guy, you know, after the Emperor and after Darth Vader. And his name was going to be Atha Prime, A-T-H-A is how you spell it, Atha Prime. And there is a prototype figure out there, pictures of it at least. And so this John Tyler Christopher painted that figure, that character, as he would have appeared on a Star Wars card back. And the cover of the comic book is that figure, Atha Prime. He's not in the comic book anywhere, but he's on the cover. So I thought that was really, really cool and really neat. It was like, you know, this guy's really kind of doing a deep dive into the Star Wars, especially the toy mythos, the Kenner history and everything, to come up with that character to be able to paint him for the cover of the comic book.
Okay.
So if you're out there, I think those covers are 1 in 25 or something like that. So maybe if you are interested in getting one of those, check your local comic shop or check online. You usually can find these when they're first released. You can usually find them for cover price, but of course some of them after a while are just getting really, really expensive to pick up. But that was it as far as Star Wars related stuff this month. Of course I got several other comic titles, but they were just, you know, nothing special to talk about.
Okay. Let's see. What did I get? A new set of Star Wars Unlimited came out called Jump to Lightspeed. And it's got a bunch of vehicles and stuff in it this time. Here's one of the cards. This is called a War Juggernaut. It's like a turbo tank, clone turbo tank. You remember those?
Yeah.
You guys have the clone turbo tanks?
Oh, yeah.
I still have one in the box that I don't know what to do with. That's why I never opened it.
Ooh. Talk to me later. Because Bo really wants one that's complete. Huh. And we have one, but it doesn't have all the pieces.
It's behind the Millennium Falcon Legacy that I never opened either.
Is that the big one?
Yes.
Okay.
Because, again, I don't know where I'd put it at, so it's never been opened.
Do you have the – did you buy the vintage one too?
I didn't buy the vintage one, just the one
– or vintage collection one, I mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
The blue box one.
But this set just came out, and I ended up also playing that at Adepticon, which is mainly a miniatures tabletop miniatures game convention. But for some reason, they allowed Fantasy Flight Games to have like casual pods, is what they called them, where just like, you know, eight people would get together or even less and just play.
Where was that at?
That was in Milwaukee, Wisconsin this time. It had been in Schaumburg, Illinois, which is about 30 minutes northwest of Chicago.
Yeah.
So I went to Milwaukee this time and played a little bit of that. And then also played in the Star Wars X-Wing Miniatures World Championship. And this was the last one that was going to be supported by Atomic Mass Games because they were no longer supporting the game, which still doesn't make any sense to me. One of their most popular games, and they don't want to support it anymore just because the miniatures are painted, which they're not known for, because they took over for Fantasy Flight Games on this game when they bought them out, because they bought out Fantasy Flight Games and then moved all their miniature stuff over to Atomic Mass Games. And this is all under the Asmodee banner. You know, they're like the parent company of all of it. So I ended up finishing 43rd out of 200, which was the top 25%.
Well, that's good.
Yep. Got some fancy dice, some X-Wing dice for the game that they gave out. Or you didn't give it out. You got tickets for winning games. And so you could go turn in the tickets for dice or alternate art cards, stuff like that. So I got a bunch of alternate art cards too, which I don't have any of those to show right here. They're put up. But so I played a bunch of X-Wing, played two full days of that, because they had two, like, I guess, day 1A and day 1B. So you could play in 1A or 1B, one or the other. And then if you got to so many points, then you could go on to day 2, which I did. And then you continued to play 5 more games there. So I got to continue on there and end up 43rd. I also ended up creating some sleeves from Dragon Shield. I don't know if you've heard of Dragon Shield or not, but they're a pretty big sleeve company. So I ended up creating my own.
Nice.
The Star Wars Collector Podcast. For those of you that can't see, it's our logo with the Millennium Falcon on it. So I got those printed out, and I'll end up playing with those at tournaments and stuff so that people can see the podcast.
That's a neat idea.
Yeah, a little bit of advertising. Also got those three same figures that everybody else got, IG-12, Aura Sing, and Deidre. Also got the Streets of Mos Eisley. This here comes with a Jawa on the card. Okay. Did you get that already, Dwayne?
I got a shipping notice today that mine's shipped out.
I got mine from Amazon.
Yeah.
Because I had originally ordered two from Hasbro Pulse. Mm-hmm. And then I decided, well, I don't want two, but I couldn't figure out a way to cancel just one. So I first looked up on Amazon, and they were like, oh, yeah, they're still available. So I bought it from them and canceled the one from Hasbro Pulse because both were going to give me free shipping, so it didn't matter.
Yeah, I've noticed that about Amazon or Hasbro Pulse. You can cancel one item or any item that you want on an order, but if you've ordered multiples of that item, you can't just cancel one or two or whatever. You have to cancel if you don't want two of them or three of them or whatever. I accidentally ordered two of something. I think it was the clone troopers, the 501st clone troopers. Well, I accidentally ordered two, and I wanted to cancel one, so I couldn't. So I just deleted it off, and then I created a new order and reordered it.
just yeah, one. I really wanted only just one after thinking about it, because I was like, well, these things are going to go on sale. So if I want more, I'll buy one later.
Probably.
That's why I never pre-ordered one. I assume like the other play sets, they'll end up on sale.
Yeah. So I got those.
Or if you're wanting, if you want two, just so you can have two to make a larger street scene or diorama with, there's a lot of them that go on sale that the people that bought them just wanted the figure out of it.
True.
So they might get the figure out of it and just sell the actual, you know, components.
I'm wondering if that Jabba, the playset with Han Carbonite, I wonder if that thing like connects to this in any way, shape, or form.
Probably not anything to do with Jabba, but this is supposed to connect to the Cantina HasLab in some way.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. That was my understanding, was that you could put it on one end of the, depending on how you set up the Cantina, you could put it on one end where the doorway is supposed to be,
mm-hmm.
and make it like the doorway into the Cantina, I guess.
Yeah.
Which means you just have to have a bigger shelf. Yeah, I saw an unboxing video, and the guy had bought two and was using, setting them up in different configurations, and they look pretty cool.
Yeah, so I got one of those, and I'll wait later to get another one if I decide to.
Yeah.
Also, I ended up getting a Lego AT-TE Walker. This thing here.
Oh, that's one of the big ones.
Yeah, it's got a bunch of troopers. You know, clone and battle droids.
Yeah.
That's quite an older set, isn't it, I think?
It's not that old. It's newer.
Oh, okay.
It's just now going on clearance.
Okay. So. I guess that's the second time they've done one of those, and I'm
Yes, probably.
Yeah.
It's I think I got it for like 35% off of what it normally is.
Yeah.
That's a good deal then. I think those are what normally like one of the 179
I'm thinking
price range or something like that.
130 or 140, somewhere around in there. So yeah, I got a pretty big discount. I got it for less than 100. So it might even be not quite 50%. So probably like 40, 45.
Yeah.
And then also Stephanie bought at Ollie's, like you were talking about earlier, with the books and stuff. She found this comic book.
Yeah.
It's a trade paperback, because it's, you know, thicker, you know, from the Halcyon Legacy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got those
Galactic Star Cruiser.
Got those in the individual issue version.
Yeah, it was only like $4, and it's typically 16. So you can get pretty good deals on stuff like that. And I've also heard that they're starting to get, what's the name of the show, the previous show? That Disney had out.
Acolyte.
No, the one after that, the one with the kids.
Oh, Ghost Crew or Ghost? Yeah, not Ghost Crew. Skeleton Crew.
Skeleton Crew.
Yeah,
I heard they're getting some of those. I think Black Series figures, if I'm not mistaken. And then also, of course, it's not Star Wars, but Indiana Jones. I don't know what they're called, but they're like Black Series, the 6-inch figures.
I saw those today up there at Ollie's. I didn't see the Skeleton Crew, though.
Okay. So that's all I got.
Sounds like all of our families and all of us have been to Ollie's this week.
Yeah.
We were all there looking for the sail barge, weren't we?
Yeah. I can't believe he fell for that. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Inside joke. There, if you didn't see it out there, there was being
April Fool's
passed joke around on Facebook that there was an April Fool's. It was a really well designed, and it looked, just to look at the thumbnail of it, it looked real.
Yeah.
Sales paper for Ollie saying that they were getting Jabba sail barge for $399, but only one per store.
Yeah, I would have been all in for that. Buy another one. Why not?
Right.
All right. So
I would have been ticked, because that would have been evidence that they made more than they said they were going to make.
Yeah.
Because the whole thing with the HasLabs is that they only, I mean, I know they make a few extra, but they're only supposed to make as many as are actually pre-ordered or paid for.
Yeah.
I'm surprised really that they haven't put out like another pre-order for a second run. Because I would have thought, you know, with as long as it's been now, there'd be a bunch of people wanting one.
They'd probably have to charge more now too than they did before originally.
Yeah, I mean, they might have to charge $700, but that's still cheaper than what you can buy them for online.
Yeah.
All right, so meeting news. Our local Kentucky Star Wars Collectors Club group will meet on April the 12th at the Flatwoods Public Library in Flatwoods, Kentucky, from noon to 3. I guess you guys are still going to meet, aren't you?
We're going to try.
I should be able to get this. I have no
plan. I need to get you guys these figures, these bunny figures. Because I still got them for both of you, for Chris Easter. And Mark.
That's a lot of bunnies.
Yeah. Still, we got the Star Wars Celebration coming up from April the 18th through the 20th at Makuhari Messe in Japan. Friday and Saturday or Sunday tickets are still available, but if you look hard enough online, you can find 3-day passes that people are trying to get rid of. Because I know somebody in the Ohio group's trying to get rid of 3 of them right now.
Was that Ohio group or was it? It was Owen Rogers.
No, it was
the Kentucky group. I thought
he was he trying to get rid of some too.
I think so. Yeah,
because it was Dave Brott that was trying to get rid of some.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I saw that post. Yeah.
Which. If it didn't cost a dang much to fly over there, I would think about going. Mm-hmm. But it costs like over $1,000 to go, just to fly. The swap meet will now be April the 26th at the Church of Ascension in Frankfurt. Look on the Facebook page if you really want to go, because there's anybody can come and buy stuff. You know, you have to be a member to set up, though, which only costs $10.
Yep.
Kentucky Star Wars Collectors Club, Case Walk, KSWCC.
All right. In other news, Revenge of the Sith is coming back to the theater for the 20th anniversary on April the 25th.
Yeah.
So check your local theaters to see if they'll have it. I know that one in our area will have it at Camp Landing, but I'm not sure if Cinemark will or not.
Yeah, I think they probably will. They just haven't been pre-booked for it yet.
Yeah, we all need to get together and go.
I mean, the movie choice and selection that's coming out right now this time of year, of course, they're opening a big one this weekend with the Minecraft movie. But,
I went to see that movie.
Otherwise, their movie theaters are starving for product right now.
Yeah, that was the first time in like 2 months or no. Yeah, 2 months since February the 14th, since we went and saw, I don't know if it was the 14th, but somewhere around there when we saw the Captain America movie.
Yeah.
Also, Tales of the Underworld. It's a new cartoon series that's shorts, like all the other Tales series. Mm-hmm. That'll be arriving on May the 4th on Disney Plus.
Yeah, they just announced that, I think, yesterday.
Yep. Do you see the trailer?
Yes, it looks really good, too.
Yeah,
it'll have Asajj Ventress and what was the other one? I'm trying to remember now. There was two of them that was centered on. It was Asajj and
Savage Opress.
Yes, Savage Opress.
And Asajj Ventress.
Yeah.
His and her.
Yep. Let's see.
Okay. Also in news, I'll go ahead and cover this. Hasbro announced recently that they finally have figured out, or they're finally telling us how their vintage collection numbering system is going to be from now on. They're calling it an update, but they kind of tried to do it a few different ways. It seems like we've all been kind of aggravated or frustrated about the way they have done it, but they wanted just to try to clarify it for us. So from now on, they've got four different ways that they're going to categorize a figure. If it's a debut figure, which means it's a new character or a costume version entering the TVC line for the first time, then it'll obviously get a new vintage collection number. Then if it's a remake of a previously released figure, which is mostly or fully retooled version, that will also get a new vintage collection number. But if it's a reissue, they're differentiating between a remake and a reissue. If it's a previously released figure, but it's just a re-release with zero changes, meaning no new tooling or decoration or accessories, then it'll keep its original vintage collection number. But I'm going to say that that doesn't include if it has different card back. So because we're seeing
it must
that,
not because yeah, we're this one right here, yeah. RSync got the same exact number,
mm-hmm. but just a different picture. That's going to be the same thing with the Dengar that they just announced too. It's going to keep his original number, but he's got a different picture on the card back. So anyway,
no, he's going to have an A though.
Okay. Well, then we'll go to the next one, which is an update, which is again a re-released figure with minor changes. They're differentiating between one with zero changes and with minor changes, which would be updated decoration, tooling, accessories, or articulation. And then it'll be its original number, VC number, plus a suffix, A, B, C, D, along that category. So
I don't know why. Just keep the same card number. Who cares?
Overcomplicating things.
Exactly.
Right. Which a lot of us in our mind, some of these ones that have been reissued, re-released, and yes, they have like a new head sculpt or whatever, we're all kind of, say it's figure number 177. We're already like 177 is the original one, and then in our mind, it's 177A or, 177, version 2 or something like that. So, but it is kind of frustrating, especially when you try to keep checklists.
Mm-hmm.
When there's two different figures with the same number and, you have to try to differentiate which one you've got or figure out which one you've got. So now if it at least has an A or a B or whatever beside the number, then you'll know, for sure instead of having to guess. But that doesn't help us with the ones from 1 to 300 and something that they did it incorrectly and just gave them the same exact number with no suffix after it. So that's going forward.
I got a couple of minor news things. One of them's kind of cool news. The other one is bad. But first of all, I got an email yesterday from Entertainment Earth that the Darth Revan case had been canceled. Or Hasbro will not be producing more of that figure.
Boo!
Yeah, no.
And but the good news for the ones that missed out on the Return of the Jedi retro, Entertainment Earth has it up for pre-order. And
I forgot about that.
Mon Mothma is over $100 by herself on eBay right now.
I ordered two of them because I forgot to order them the last time.
I'm debating. I can, with my business account, I can order a case of them, but there's 12 in a case. I'd have to sell 12 of them. So
12 boxes?
Yes, 12 boxes in a case. That's how many.
I'll buy two of them. I'll cancel mine right now.
I could give you a better deal, probably about $5 less and no shipping, of course.
I'll buy two of them.
Okay, I'll let you know. I'll think about it a couple of days and let you know, but that's a big case of sorts.
I bet you could sell them, though, if you let people in the club know. I mean, when is it going to be released?
The business account said August, so I assume that's the same thing for everything.
You could have them for the fall festival then.
Yeah.
Which we got to talk about that, too, at some point.
Yeah.
Have you made any inquiries about that?
No, not until we set a date.
Well, I guess we need to find out from the church what date's available if we're doing it at the same place.
Right. Okay. Right. On to some new collectible announcements. Does one of you all want to cover the Hasbro stuff?
Carl, you can.
Okay. First up, we have some vintage collection news, and we have Dengar coming, which is a refresh vintage collection 01. And the next one on the list is Carson Teva, which if you've listened to some of our past podcasts, all three of us has mentioned that was one of the figures high on our want list. So that's
Mm-hmm.
And the pictures of him, he looks really cool.
Yeah.
And Asajj Ventress.
He got to actually announce it, the guy who plays Carson Teva.
Yeah, I saw a screenshot of and the reason we didn't have pictures on our Facebook page is I didn't get the email with those pictures in it this time.
Why didn't you tell me?
I forgot to. I meant to. I forgot. Then next we have Alexandra Callis. Is that how you say it? Callis?
I think it's Callis. Agent Callis.
Yeah. And the next one kind of bugs me a little bit. We have a land speeder, which includes the Luke Skywalker. I don't really think we needed another vintage collection land speeder, but now I feel obligated to buy it because of the Tatooine Luke Skywalker is coming.
Yeah. Yes, but it's an all new land speeder.
It is. I looked at the pictures, but I thought the other one was pretty nifty before.
And, well, I mean, it looked good, but it didn't have the play features on it. This one has the retractable wheels and the hood raises.
Isn't it $69.99? That's a lot of money for us.
Well, you got a $25 deluxe action figure included in it. So,
boo on deluxe.
They also made it so that C-3PO's legs can, you know, hang down inside the cockpit.
That's, I think it's the first time we've had that.
You all have already convinced me in like 30 seconds.
Yeah, just get rid of your old one and if you don't want two landspeeders.
Black Series, we have a Night Trooper, and we have Ezra Bridger, and we have the SM-33, in which if I was a Black Series collector, I would get that one because it looks amazing, I think, from the picture.
Yeah.
We have the Ronin and R5D56. It says Japan exclusive. Is that Celebration exclusive?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. It's the ones from the that cartoon series, Visions.
Yeah, Star Wars Visions.
I forgot about that.
So the anime, I think it was the first season.
Yes, it was the first season. I think it was the very first episode.
I'm kind of jealous because I would have liked some of those characters in a 3¾-inch scale package in some way or form or fashion. But so it looks really cool. And it's a Japanese language only on the packaging, I think.
Huh. I'll have to look up pictures of that. I didn't see it.
And it's black and white, too.
Yeah, black and white because the animation was black and white.
Well, that's cool. Retro Collection, there's no new news, but I don't know if you all saw it on Mr. Steve's Instagram page. One of the head guys at Hasbro did he called it an unofficial vote. Any guess what two characters finished one and two in his vote for possible future retro figures? If you didn't see it,
no, I didn't.
I did not see it. number one and two, that hasn't come out yet, or going to.
It hasn't yet, but he said now this is not no official announcement. He said this is just me polling fans, but Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru were one and two.
Oh yeah. I can understand that.
Yeah, so I thought that was pretty cool.
But trying to guess without ever hearing, there's no way I could guess because it could be anything.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to guess like a really rare figure, which we already got, Yak Face. So I guess Blue Snaggletooth Retro.
Blue Snaggletooth. something. I don't remember the top 10, but he was like number 5 or 6. So people did vote for Blue Snaggletooth.
I don't doubt it.
Yeah, so it's kind of cool.
And a Blix.
Yeah, Flix would be good too.
Yeah.
Or a pop up lightsaber R2.
Epic Heroes revamped to Epic World of Action. I guess there's no news on it.
No new announcements, but they are available on Entertainment Earth. Now, I just ordered mine yesterday.
I haven't seen them pop up yet at all in a Walmart or
the Mech Force suits and the newest basic assortment.
Yeah. Target didn't have any of the new ones either today when I looked.
I saw something at Walmart when I was there that they got these figures that you can pull them apart and put them together with other figures.
Yes, I've seen that. You can mismatch them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what it's called, but I mean, you could put, because there was Chewbacca, Darth Maul, Boba Fett, Stormtrooper. I don't know. There's all kinds of different ones that you could pull apart, put together all the pieces and mash them up.
Yeah, that was one of those lines that they came out with recently for the preteen, group of kids, I guess.
Yeah.
Which they had those, something like that years ago that they had they have magnetic joints or whatever so that you can that's how you pull them apart and everything is they're magnetized.
Sounds familiar.
And the hip and everything in the head.
Yeah.
So, no news this month that we were able to find from General Giant or SH Figure Arts, but Sideshow announced so far at least four different exclusives that are going to be released at Celebration in Japan. They're going to have a Galen Erso 1/6 scale figure. They're going to have a Darth Maul concept art 1/6 scale figure. These are all Hot Toys, by the way, available through Sideshow. So when I say 1/6 scale, it's 12-inch figures articulated. The Darth Maul concept art is the one where he's wearing like the brown colored vest, I think, was one of the mm-hmm. early concept pieces. I've seen on
pictures of that.
They're also going to have a Stormtrooper Cherry Blossom version. That's something that's kind of unique to a couple of Japan exclusive that I've seen, where they just paint like it's a big Japanese thing. I've got China on the brain today for some reason. That they paint cherry blossoms onto like white porcelain and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I've seen a couple of exclusives that have cherry blossoms added to whatever it is Star Wars related. So there's going to be a Hot Toys Stormtrooper Cherry Blossom. And the other one is going to be a Darth Vader dueling effect version, which kind of has a paint application that's kind of part red glow, part blue glow, like he's in a duel with somebody with a blue lightsaber, and it's reflecting off of his armor, depending on which way you look at it.
Hmm.
So it looks kind of neat. I don't know. The pictures, at least, I don't know how it would look in person. But they also announced Hot Toys. This is not an exclusive, but they announced a life-size Grogu figure in the satchel pouch that you see him in, where he gets carried by the scout troopers and by Din Djarin. So if you want one of those to carry around with you, that's going to be available from Hot Toys, life size. What's
the detail on that thing?
Who knows? But
well, I mean, he'd probably be like what, 18 inches tall, probably.
I would think at least. Yeah. I mean, I've seen life-size Grogu figures. You know, they do make some.
Obviously, plushes.
They make Grogu everything.
Didn't Sideshow do a life-size
Grogu? I think so, yeah. And lastly, available through Sideshow will be, this is the first time I've ever heard of this company. It's called Hano.
Yeah, I've never heard of it either.
And they're doing a 6th scale animated Star Wars Rebels Stormtrooper. Like two different, one regular Stormtrooper and I think a Stormtrooper Commander. So these are going to be, I guess they got it's been divvied up now to where the animated style is going to this new company, Hano Studios, and available through Sideshow. Whereas the Hot Toys has got the regular version of Star Wars characters, I guess. Would be my guess, like I said. So all of that, you know, just in the last month from different announcements. And then there, I'm sure there'll be some more, you know, rolling out at Celebration later this month that we'll learn about when they have all these different companies have their presentations. Yeah. Okay. And wrapping it up with release announcements is Regal Robot. And they are adding to their archive collection. And it is a concept maquette for a Yuzum.
What is that? What is Yuzum?
Yuzum is an alien that was originally sketched by concept artist and costume designer Nilo Ross Rodas Jamero, probably is how it's pronounced. And then it was the maquette was sculpted by Judy Elkins, I guess, in the Creature Shop or the ILM, and the character was ultimately fabricated at full size as a member of the court of Jabba's palace. And if you're wondering what a Yuzum is, it's the lead singer that they inserted into the band, Jabba's band. What was his name?
Yowza.
He's a Yuzum. But this isn't him.
Okay.
But it's just a regular Yuzum. It's got big long bird legs and it's like a fuzzy, he's like fuzzy kind of hairy looking.
Joe Yowza, which is Joyowza.
So if you want a concept maquette for a Yuzum, check out Regal Robot. Oh, and also there's a new player on the scene. In addition to that Hano Studios, there's one called Premium Collectible Studio. And they are releasing a 1/3 scale Emperor Palpatine statue in his throne.
Huh.
So 1/3 scale would be bigger or smaller? It'd be big. It'd be like 24 inches.
Yeah, it'd be pretty big.
So if you're someone who has room for a big 2-foot-tall Emperor Palpatine in his throne from the throne room or, you know, on board the Death Star, check out Premium Collectible Studios. Okay.
All right. On well, that brings us to our main topic, which Dwayne came up with. you want to talk about this introduction here?
Yeah, I felt like this has been kind of a hot topic, especially in the last couple of weeks, that people are starting to, of course, pay attention to what's going on in the nation's capital with the president both threatening and actually implementing some tariffs on imports. And I thought we could maybe talk about how we feel about that and what we think that the future may hold as far as our Star Wars collectibles, specifically our action figure lines, and you know, whether this is going to create a supply problem or a you know, price problem. Is it going to be a problem to the point where it's going to force people to stop collecting, you know? So I did a little bit of research, or actually not a little bit, a lot. I decided to go back and just for a little bit of a history lesson. Let's start with the Vintage Collection. It was released initially in 2010. And at that time, a Vintage Collection basic figure in 2010 was selling for $7.99. Those were the good old days.
Just only 15 years ago.
Yeah. $7.99, which was pretty much the going rate for any action figure. The thing was, is the Vintage Collection at that time was just the continuation. You know, it was just a refresh of the card back and the packaging. So, you know, it wasn't that it was intended to be a premium version of our regular action figures or anything like that.
I don't know about that, because the regular figures were $5.99 from the movies, and they were only like 5 points of articulation, where these were much more.
Right.
So that's the reason why they were a little bit higher, and the card backs, while different, I don't think that raised the price at all. I think it was the figure itself with the multiple articulation.
Yeah, and what I'm getting at, though, is they started at $7.99, and 2 years later, when the line was discontinued, they were up to $9.99 in 2012. Yeah. But at that time, when they carried on with, what was it, the
Black Series?
What do we have?
The multiple points of articulation figures were Black Series. On those black cards,
some more basic figures in between that in 2012. Was it Solo figures or the?
Let's see, 2012 to 2018. That would have been the Force Awakens figures,
right?
Rogue One.
So those became our basic carded figures again. They were movie line based,
but
they
had
articulation. And those were still $7.99 at that point. So, by the time the Vintage Collection ended the first time, it was $2 more than a basic figure. But when they were first released, they were
two separate lines going at the same time, because once the Vintage Collection ended, what took that place was Black Series.
Yeah.
And then you had the 5 points of articulation, which was each movie line.
So, moving on, what we call the Vintage Collection 2 or the Vintage Collection Version 2, restarted in 2018, and at that point it was up to $12.99. So just in those 6 years from 2012 until 2018, the price point had gone up by another $3. And of course, here most recently, in 2025, the price point is settled in at $16.99. However, with the release of these most recent wave of figures, some retailers decided to go ahead and jump the gun, anticipating that they were going to be paying, I think, more for the figures, more for the product later this year because of the tariffs that were being threatened. So they started charging $19.99. Some of them did. I even saw somewhere that somebody out there was charging $21.99 for a basic major collection figure. That's the Carson Teva. And
I think since then, though, they've lowered it back down.
Right. So, some of them, you know, like I said, and people were like, Hasbro Pulse, I think, didn't have any increase at all. So everybody ran to Hasbro Pulse and ordered them, and they had to list them as sold out. And then everybody was having to go to like Big Bad Toy Store was, I think, $17.99. And then Amazon and Entertainment Earth were, you know, initially $19.99. But yeah, some they've come back down. But as you can see, you know, what was happening was there was a knee-jerk reaction, and the retailers are
which that's understandable, because if these tariffs stay, right, they're going to end up eating that money.
Yeah, yep.
Or causing people to be angry by raising the price on them when they actually charge them.
Exactly. So I decided to do a little research and was like, okay, well, you know, back when the line was reintroduced in 2018, we were paying $12.99. And we do know, you know, everybody knows inflation has gone up in the last, what would that be, 6 years? So now that we're paying $16.99, I was like, well, what? How does that compare to what inflation was? So the consumer price index inflation rate from those years, from 2018 to 2024, that price from $12.99 should be $16.23. So us paying $16.99 really is kind of in line with inflation. It's kind of understandable or justifiable, I guess you could say, on the as far as the retailer's point of view. But of course, it's not easy on our pocketbooks.
No.
So, but if we're looking at, you know, going up to, you know, $3 more just as a knee-jerk reaction later this year, you know, that's going to be, you know, another 17, almost 18% increase on those basic figures. And even that increase from the $4 increase from $12.99 to $16.99 was only a 4.4%. I've been looking at the Vintage Collect or the Black Series numbers. Yeah, it was a 4.7% increase from $12.99 to $16.99. No, that's not right. 27%. Yeah, 27%. So we could do, you know, from a 6 year 27% increase, and we're looking at possibly having a 17, 18% increase, which would be half of that or more than half of that in just a few months, you know. I mean, I can understand if you know, inflation continues over the next 7 years, us being up around $20 or 21, you know, 21.99 or something like that. But to go have that much of an increase in just 1 year just would be crazy. But as of today, as of yesterday, today, I don't know when you all will be listening to this podcast, Washington, the president's new proposed tariff on China is 54%. 54%. And Vietnam, which is where some of the Hasbro's toys are produced, is 34%. So just doing the math on that, we could possibly, if they try to pass that along to us, the consumers, which they will, we're looking at a $25 to $26 price point for just Vintage Collection 3 3/4 inch figures.
I'll be done. I'm not paying that. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I had a hard time paying $25 for Black Series figures when I was collecting those. That's why I got out of collecting those.
Right. Yeah.
I'll go ahead. Sorry.
No, you can pay, Carl. I was going to switch to the Black Series. Just a couple of notes on that. But
I was just going to say the problem, too, with that price increase, if that does happen, I don't know if you all have read, but like Target and Walmart are already saying no on some of these price increases that people's already. And I think it would come to a point that it would become a niche hobby, because I think Walmart and Target, for example, would not carry 4-inch figures at $25 to $26 retail.
Yeah,
you'd have to order from Big Bad Toys or Hasbro. No,
they would only start carrying stuff that's made in the U.S., like Lego.
Yeah,
I mean, Lego's got a big new manufacturing plant going in. Actually, more than one. I think there's two of them in the United States, and they already have one. So they're going to have a couple more, and so they'll be able to make stuff even cheaper, really.
Assuming that Lego's able to get their plastic from somewhere here in America, and they're not importing their plastic that they mold everything with from somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, you're right, Carl. That was another topic or another part of this topic that was, you know, an interesting consideration was, if these items become that expensive, will we be able to find them at regular brick and mortar stores? I know
probably not.
Some people, I've seen reports online that both Target and Walmart in their most recent resets don't have pegs for the vintage collection, but we've seen
Walmart still does, because they still have about 40 Hoth Troopers.
Yeah.
Well, I can confirm the Huntington Barbersville Target still has a vintage collection peg.
Right. So, but we have seen this before, and that's just sort of a supply and demand issue right now. I think it's probably more the case that, and we know this, that right now they can't even get the cases of figures from Hasbro, because Hasbro's not really making in a quantity to be able to supply at least the big box retailers. So therefore when the retailers were looking at what their sales were on those items, they're probably like, well, we're not going to dedicate peg space, not because of the price point, but because of the fact that they don't have any to sell, and they haven't been selling any at a large enough quantity to justify giving them, peg space in the newest reset. But when we have another big surge in production, and if we have, I'll put it this way, if we have, because the way the figures are just kind of trickling out from Hasbro right now, I don't know. I think it's possible that the days of these stores like Walmart are ever getting 3, 4, 5 cases at a time and getting back stock too. That's another thing is, honestly, of course, I don't go to stores hardly at all anymore, because I do order everything online, so I'm not out there hunting toys. But I would guess that, at least what I'm hearing from you guys that are out there shopping still, is that they're not restocking. If they do, it might be one case at a time.
Target today, besides the deluxe IG-12 figure, they had 2 Darth Vader vintage collection figures on the pegs. That was it.
Right.
So not much to pick from.
So, I don't know. Will the stores cut back on not just Star Wars, but just toy lines in general? Because, like you mentioned Lego, but as far as action figures are concerned, I would just about guess that 95 to 100% of all action figures are imported from somewhere else.
Yeah, even where does
just from Mexico.
Super 7 get their stuff? Do they make it here in the US?
I would guarantee it's from China.
China too. Yeah, I've seen some pictures from their factory over there and stuff. Yeah,
even the guy that does the Valiverse, the military figures. He designs them and everything and everything, but he still has to get them made over in China overseas.
Mm-hmm.
In order to be able to afford to have them manufactured and sell them. So, yeah, and just a little bit, too, I just wanted, for you Black Series collectors out there, things are maybe a little bit better than they are, believe it or not, than they are for us vintage collection collectors. Black Series was introduced in the 6-inch scale, was introduced in 2013 at $19.99 a figure. By 2015, 10 years ago, they were up to $22.99, so they had increased $3 just in a 2-year span there. I think it's because they realized they could get $22.99 out of them, not because they needed to charge us $22.99. Then this year, currently, they've been running $24.99. And that's actually been the retail price for a while now, if I'm not mistaken, hasn't it, Brian?
I don't know. I haven't bought any for a while.
Okay. So, from $19.99 to $24.99 in 11 or 12 years, that's not a huge increase. And then the price that came out that was supposedly they were going to start charging with the newest release was going to be $27.99. So they were jumping both the vintage collection up $3 a figure and the Black Series figures up $3 each. Even though my guess would be that they would probably rather just go ahead and charge you $29.99 and be done with it. But again, going back and looking at the consumer price index from the last 10 years, when they were $22.99 and now they're only $24.99, based on inflation, they should actually be charging us $30, $30.43 should be the price of a Black Series figure, but it's $5 less, over $5 less than what it could be or should be. So Black Series collectors, you know, actually yours haven't gone up as much as the Vintage Collection have over the same time period, because we're sitting at should be 1623 and we're at 1699 on the Vintage Collection, but you know, Black Series should be 3043.
They claim that it takes about as much to make a Vintage Collection figure as it does a Black Series figure.
That's what I've heard. I've heard that.
I've heard that too, but I still don't believe that for some reason.
And you know, I originally had a thought, you know, when I saw that these new figures were announced, they were going to be $19.99 a figure, the Vintage Collection figures, $3 more than what we've been paying. And I thought, that's just not right for them to already be passing on a, you know, proposed tariff or whatever amount to us when these figures have already been ordered and produced. But I guess I could see for future ones that anything shipped after whatever date the tariff goes into effect, you know. But I also thought, well, now, wait a minute. They're taking that percentage, whatever it is, 10% or whatever it's going to end up being, if it ends up being the 54% that was proposed or supposedly going to be put on Chinese products, and just automatically taking the retail price and adding 54% onto it isn't right either, because the tariffs are going to be on the wholesale price of the items. So they're not paying, you know, $16.99 wholesale for each of those figures. But then I read somewhere else that wholesale prices on figures are only about 5% less than what they cost retail. And I thought, is that right? That they're only have like a 5% margin on an action figure or a plastic toy like that?
Yeah, the tariffs are on the wholesale value.
Yeah. So why should the whole percentage be passed on to us consumers? Was my thinking. But I guess if the wholesale price is not that much less than the retail price, I guess we can possibly expect to see that much of an increase. So I found a little bit of information. President of Hasbro, let's see, they give his name here somewhere in this article. Well, I don't see it now. Anyway, on March 14th, I guess it was a toy fair. They had an interview with both the Mattel CEO or president and the Hasbro, and just asked him about, you know, what did they think the effect of the tariffs on China or you know, other areas where their product or manufacturer are going to have. And Hasbro says that it sources its products from 8 different countries, with about 50% of its product coming from China. And that they are aiming or trying to find other sources for their products if China's going to end up having such a high tariff rate imposed on them. But so it is trying to diversify. But it also says there's no way that they're going to be able to switch over to U.S. manufacturing, because there's just nowhere
to do it.
And there's nowhere that's even that we basically gave up trying to do that 3 decades ago or more.
Yeah.
Trying to manufacture those type of toys. And that even if we did, that they would definitely cost 50%
almost
more.
50 years ago.
Yeah. Because
Star Wars toys were produced in Hong Kong back in the 70s.
Yeah. So anyway, that Hasbro source, like I said, he did reveal that about 50% of their product comes from China, and we pretty much know that, because you can every action figure you get, it's got a trademark on it, you know, and it says made in China pretty much. So we can expect whatever tariffs or whatever, you know, economic sanctions, I guess, are imposed on China, that we're going to feel the blowback in our pocketbooks here in the United States on our, you know, on everything, but especially, or not especially, but, you know, eventually on our action figure collecting.
Yeah.
So, and you guys are thinking if they get up over $20, that you're probably just going to call it quits, huh?
Pretty much, yeah.
I would probably be super, I'm already started to be more selective with stuff, but I would be super, super selective, because even some of the figures now, I don't think they're worth what they cost with some of the tooling and stuff
the
like
deluxe
that.
Ones.
Yes, they're already, like I said, yeah, we've talked about that. I already feel like they're screwing us on the deluxe figure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just like you look at Hammerhead that's getting ready to come. Why on earth is that a deluxe figure?
Beats me.
I see no reason for him to be a deluxe.
I still haven't ordered it yet because I'm just about done with $25 figure. It's ridiculous.
It is. It could have been on a normal size card instead of making it a little bit wider and calling it a deluxe. So I don't know. I think Hasbro has hurt itself with some of its decisions and stuff like that. Just like when I was at Ollie's today, and there's still hundreds of Black Panther figures at Ollie's. And what made them think that Black Panther was going to be such a huge hit that they would produce that money? So I don't know.
The first movie income made them think that the second movie was going to be that big of a hit. And
I don't know why they would think that. I mean, it didn't, because what's his name had already passed away and they weren't going to use him.
Yeah. Exactly. That was a big loss.
So that was a huge loss.
But that doesn't.
I mean, the movie wasn't horrible, but no, still.
You're talking about they're making toys for kids, though.
Yeah.
So that wouldn't have any effect on whether kids would buy a toy. But when kids didn't end up watching the movie.
But how many kids are buying toys anymore? Not as many.
When the kids ended up watching the movie and didn't care for it that much because T'Challa wasn't there, maybe. I think that probably had a big effect on it. And you're right. And you know what? We may be seeing, and this could be a demographic situation too. Maybe we're seeing an overstock of Black Panther toys in rural Kentucky or West Virginia, but yet in areas like Detroit or whatever, maybe they can't get their hands on Black Panther figures if they wanted them, because that's where the major demographic that would buy those characters would be located.
Just because they were in Detroit at one time in the movie, or
no, because of the demographics, the African American population and everything like that. So that could be a possibility too. Anyway, so yeah, just in my opinion, of course, you know me, I've got disposable income and I buy everything coming and going. Now, would I like to find good deals on stuff? Obviously, yeah, I would.
Sometimes I don't even think it's about personal income. It just annoys me because I don't think it's worth that either.
Yeah.
But as far as, if they go up to 20 or even 23 or 25, I think that I will probably still, if it's the line that's being continued, if it continues, that's a big if too.
Yeah.
I do think Star Wars is on its last legs because, I mean, for the most part, we are an older collector base. And like Brian just said, a lot of kids don't even buy toys anymore.
Right. Until the big push in 2026 when the Mandalorian and Grogu movie comes out. And then
they can hope. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
I mean, if they come out with like two figures and then 6 months later, let's release about seven or eight more, that's not going to work.
Yeah. Yeah, see, their big issue with releasing stuff with either TV shows or movies is the fact that most of the time they don't even come out with anything when it comes out.
No,
it's a year later, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, look how long it took with the first season of Mandalorian for us to finally have figures, and it was the biggest hit going for Disney.
Yeah, if you think about it, they've never targeted their TV shows with a simultaneous big toy launch. Never. It's always been movie releases.
Only
and
because
even then, not always, because it slowed down so bad that by the time that we got The Last Jedi, that, that they had very few Last Jedi figures, but that was probably because they got burned so bad on the Solo movie.
Well, Rise of Skywalker was even worse. That was the first movie we didn't get the small little line of. We just got a couple of vintage collection figures.
Well, the reason that they didn't put a toy line out for The Mandalorian initially was because they wanted to keep Grogu as secret as possible. So they didn't give out that information to anybody. So they were not going to let Hasbro have it and then have a leak happen to where that character got out before the show come out.
Yeah.
Because none of us knew about it before we saw that first episode.
True.
And I know they wanted to keep it out as a surprise, but even then, within 3 months, Funko had stuff out.
Yeah. Yep.
Why does it take so long to make a figure? I don't understand
If Hasbro had wanted to have a major release and you got to keep in mind that at the time, the Mandalorian at least was the very first basically it was the reason that Disney Plus was even being launched.
Yeah.
People didn't even have subscriptions to Disney Plus before that.
Because it didn't exist.
Right. So it was a big gamble all the way around. And now, as we're seeing as history has played out, we're still not getting huge retail releases for the new TV shows. And we didn't get anything for the Skeleton Crew because, again, I think we got too much junk for the Acolyte, and it bombed.
Yeah, but they had to produce that stuff a year in advance. So you would think they would have had stuff ready to go for the Skeleton Crew. Otherwise, you know, what were they thinking? Yeah. It doesn't make any sense if you had stuff for this one show but not the other. Yeah. Were they planning on the Skeleton Crew bombing? I mean, I just don't get it.
But I'm going to say right now that we will get at least a month ahead of time a big release of Star Wars-related toys. Now, it may not be vintage collection action figures.
I don't think they'll ever do like a Midnight Madness thing at Walmart.
But it'll be, I think we might see that again.
Yeah, I doubt it.
We honestly might. I doubt
it too.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't see that happening.
I mean, with as weak as the last two or three that they did, no. I mean, Toys R Us, what'd they have? One of every figure? It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's like, well, how can people get anything and you have these midnight releases if you don't actually have anything to release?
Yeah, I mean, because me and Dwayne, I remember, went up to the Disney store the next day to find the ones we didn't get.
But that was still, you know, again, probably a supply and demand issue rather than the fact that they didn't have product ready and available.
Yeah, but that could have been a Hasbro problem. They could have not made enough, which would have made it their fault. It would have been, you know, not enough supply for the demand.
Yeah, and when you have people lined up outside your door waiting for a Midnight Madness, and then you send them away mad, you lose some collectors at that point in time, too.
Yeah, and two or three years of doing it in a row, it's like, what are you thinking? I mean, you see all these people lined up, yet you're still going to disappoint 75% of them because you just don't have anything to sell.
Yep.
It doesn't make any sense. And I'm curious how much longer Hasbro is going to have this license.
I wonder that too. I think it's,
I mean, if they say it costs as much as it does to do all this stuff, I foresee them just going, it's not worth it anymore. Yep. You know, the licensing fees are just too much.
Yep.
You know, what if we're here at this point and Kenner had not let the license go, you know, back in the early 90s or whenever it was, when all they had to do was pay, like, I think it was like $10,000 a year.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's pocket change to keep the license going. And they would, because it was in perpetuity. You know, all you had to do is pay that license fee and you could have kept it forever.
Yeah.
And then figures would be like $3. Of course, they may have just let the license go because at that point, Lucasfilm would have been like, we're not making any money off of this now.
Yeah.
Well, and Disney, you know, again, Disney doesn't care. It doesn't seem like they don't care who they license Star Wars stuff to. If they could, they would have.
Well, they have their own stuff even.
They would have their own stuff. They would have Mattel making Star Wars 3¾-inch figure. They would have, you know, Super 7 making 3¾-inch figures.
Sure Hasbro's got an exclusive, you know, exclusivity to that contract.
We know they do. That's why you don't see anything other than the
ones from the Disney parks. They're just going to be like, we can't do this anymore because we can't, you know, make any money off of it. We're actually losing money
if it
costs as much as they say it does.
And I could see Hasbro at some point just concentrating on their games and stuff because they have so much little money tied up into that.
Well, a couple years ago, they said it cost, I want to say, like $1 million per mold. So, you know, for each figure. And that's why they have so many, you know, re-releases, you know, paint changes, all this other stuff for Mandalorians, you know, clone troopers, you know, that kind of stuff, so that they can make up money somewhere else. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens over the next couple of years. I think 28 is when their license expires, if I'm not mistaken.
I think that is right.
Right. So right now, and like I'm kind of getting at, I think that Hasbro is definitely just holding its breath until the next theatrical release. That's where they make their money, the bread and butter.
We'll see.
Oh, I'm sure.
Let's see if they're smart enough to take.
And they have to hope, you know, And we know that we could tell from one to the next that the sequel trilogy that Disney put out had smaller returns each time. So, and we all agree, and we know from history that, you know, those, the toy lines at least were fewer and fewer and fewer. And then we understand, of course, that with the Mandalorian, they weren't going to back it with a big product line because it was such an unknown. But once it was known and was such a hit, oh my gosh, there was a flood of stuff out there.
Well, that's going to be a one and done movie. It won't be a trilogy or anything.
I know,
like,
but that's what I'm saying is once that comes out and there's a renewed interest by the newest generation in Star Wars, then Disney, I feel like, is going to try to start, you know, and again, it's just going to be from movie to movie as to whether it's quality enough, you know, well made enough to attract enough attention to be a blockbuster movie or not.
Mm-hmm.
But I would think that I think it's a good bet that the Mandalorian and Grogu movie is going to be big. I mean, we're talking like Jurassic World, you know, Star Wars.
Let's hope so.
You know, Marvel Comics, Avengers type big.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we've beat this dead horse enough. I'm sure people now are probably like, okay, we've heard enough.
So I did Chris Cox is the name of the Hasbro executive, CEO.
Mm-hmm.
It was an interview that Yahoo Finance did with him on tariffs being imposed. And, you know, he just was very forthcoming, actually. So it's a good, if you want to read about, you know, what he feels like, he says he was the one that said that margins for toys are 4-6% as far as, you know, charge.
That's pretty low.
It is, you know, if you're thinking, you know.
Normally, margins on stuff is usually 25-30%.
So if we're getting charged $20 on something, then the retailer's only making $5 off of it.
Oh, less than that.
Hasbro's getting 15.
If it's 4%.
I think probably because, like you all have already mentioned, the Star Wars license is so high, that's definitely lowering their margin right there for one.
I mean, you're talking 68 cents for a $16.99 figure. That's all they're making if a margin's 4%.
But another point that this article, the person that wrote this article, makes is that he says, would you buy a $30 Black Series or a $22 the Vintage Collection figure? Then he goes on to say the U.S. would virtually have price parity with Europe then. So we don't really think about it, but yeah, if you ever watch or have contact with any of the guys over in Europe or even the guys in Australia or even Canada for that point, they're all paying that much already for the figures, the same figures that we're buying. So I don't know, you know, they seem to be continuing to, you know, advance their collections and be really motivated and highly interested in their hobby. So maybe it would, you know, it's a big sting. It would be a big sting to us for it to increase that much. We've not really noticed. I think we've noticed, but we've not really hurt us that much for it to be those slow increases. Like I said, from 2012 to 20,
mm-hmm.
you know, 15 to 2018 and now 2024, even though we can go back and say, wow, they used to be $7.99. Now they're $16.99. That's $9 more. They've doubled in price. But so is inflation. I mean, inflation is the reason for that, not necessarily the fact that they cost that much more to make them. I don't guess, or maybe it does. Maybe the inflation is what's infecting the manufacturing industry as well, as far as, you know, materials and supplies and labor and all that.
All right. Well, we're coming up on an hour and a half. I'm sure that that's a little long for a lot of people. So we're gonna stop it there. And Carl, you want to read the outro there?
Sure. First of all, again, to thank our Patreon members for all the support and helping us out. And if you'd like to help us out, even for as little as $1 a month, you can sign up at the patreon.com/the Star Wars Collector. And you can also we have a Facebook page. It's facebook.com/the Star Wars Collector Podcast. We also have a group there as well. You can leave us an iTunes review if you want to, and other places that you listen that may have the review option. We'd appreciate that. And we have a Discord. And if you need to email us about something, you can reach us at tswcpodcast@gmail.com. And we're on X as well as Blue Sky, and that is at TSWC Podcast. And this month's Facebook shout out goes to Chris Crothers.
All right.
Ooh, Chris Crothers. If you're listening, thank you.
Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll talk to you next month.
Thanks a lot, everybody. Goodbye.
Bye.